Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Program is live. It is also late. Don't blame me. Blame Microsoft. Microsoft, when it absolutely positively has to be fucked up beyond all recognition. This is the Horn. Head on RadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go to jump into the chat room where await a number of the usual suspects. Members of the real-time multimedia extravaganza experience that is the Horn chat room. If you've never been before, go by, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and away you'll go. And thanks very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob. Thank you. TuneIn Radio is a great way to listen to the program, as is Stitcher. Roku devices, goodness me, there's a million different ways to listen. Okay, not a million, but a lot. A lot. Yes. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes it is, this is the 21st day of May, 2015. It is, in fact, Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh my God, you know, after last night I said, don't worry, tomorrow we'll go back into the swamp. And somebody left a spigot on overnight, and Jesus, it's a big swamp this evening. We reserve Thorn in the Side Thursday for those elements of, quite often, right-wing thought that just make your eyes feel like marbles rolling around in your head. Eye-buggingly stupid things. That's what Thorn in the Side Thursday is for. And there's a bunch. There's a bunch. But a few things to deal with before we get into the swamp. You know, it takes a couple of minutes to get the hip waders on and whatnot. Thanks going out, first of all, to those who continue to keep this program going. Thanks very much indeed to our buddy Carl. And thanks to Janie. Thank you very much, Janie. And thank you to Robert. Thank you, Robert. All of those rolling in the past 24 hours. We have a brand new subscriber. Thank you, Donald. Thank you very kindly, Donald. It is much appreciated. Subscriptions are easy. Just set it and forget it, right? Hopefully, Sylvia, now you're getting the regular program. I was late getting the program started, but thank you for letting me know. That's always very helpful. And you know what? I've talked about how new callers are always welcome at the program very seldom faint away from the stress and torment of having a conversation with little old me. But, you know, there's a whole lot of people. There are a lot of people in the Horn Family Commune congregation from whom we seldom, if ever, hear, and it's a real treat when a note comes in from someone that we've never heard from before who decides to reach out. And so this note from Jackie. Jackie and Lynn. Hi, Jackie and Lynn. They note, we were very sad to hear of Bill's passing yesterday. My partner, Lynn, listens to your program every day, and Bill was one of her favorites. He will be missed, but is in a better place. We live in Burnaby, a suburb of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and every day at 3 p.m., our computer comes on and your program is on. Lynn stops everything and listens, and I hear her laughing, swearing, and talking away for the next 3 hours. God, that just tickles me pink. I listen, but I'm usually doing other things, but I enjoy the program, and thank you and your online community for giving out the true information about the things that are going on. We also know that this country to the north is heading down the same path, only our government doesn't talk as much. And our news, now mostly Fox, et cetera, is giving us fairly clean news. And then every once in a while you find out things you think you have, like health care, school programs, national security are being stripped, and you don't have what you think you have. Our only hope is that there is a change of government. And some of that, you know, some of that began began recently in Alberta, right? That was a pretty earth-shattering election. And it does represent some hope for the future. Jackie continues, we're both seniors and have been able to get by, but who knows how long that will last. Anyway, your program is a big part of our day here, and hope it will be for a long time. Me too, believe me. Thank you for what you do. We don't have enough like you to educate the people who have been dumbed down and can't get what the truth is and do something about change. So, from the West Coast, take care and know we are listening, and say hello sometime. Lynn would love that, and so would I. Hello. Pleasure to make your acquaintance, really. And I look forward to hearing more from you both, Jackie and Lynn, out in Burnaby. It just makes me tingle. Tickles me to pieces. So, thank you very much for reaching out and letting us know you're part of who's listening. It was really nice of you to do that. Thank you. Let's see. And by the way, just for mentioning purposes, we try to raise $200 per evening to keep the program going. And thank you very kindly for helping us stay even and even a little bit out front on that, because there are monumental amounts of bills. This is one of those months. Let's see. This would be a good time, program note-wise, to talk about some programming irregularities in the fairly near future. No program Monday. That's a holiday. And in point of fact, there would be a program. I often work Monday holidays just because it seems like nobody else is. I won't be doing that this Monday, however, because there's rather big doings down in the Coal River Valley. The official dedication of the Judy Bonds Center for Appalachian Preservation is slated for that afternoon, and it's rather a long and winding drive down into the CRV. From over here in the hills and hollers, from one set of hills and hollers to another. So most likely no program on Monday. We'll be celebrating the life of Judy Bonds and the future that hopefully the Judy Bonds Center will lead toward down in the heart of the Sacrifice Zone. There aren't a lot of organizations out there that are fighting mountaintop removal and where the people actually live where it's going on. In point of fact, Coal River Mountain Watch is the point of the spear in that struggle going forward. And so this is very important. And this is free and easy. That's right. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you, Gerald. It's quite a drive from the NRV to the CRV, the New River Valley, to the Coal River Valley. Precisely. See, that's what you got. That's what makes it. Oh gosh. You saved my bacon. Right. We're the NRV. Down there's the CRV. But a reminder: if you will kindly go over to my Facebook page or to the Coal River Mountain Watch Facebook page, you'll see daily updates and reminders coming in. There is a program out there whereby Allstate Insurance, no, State Farm, I'm sorry. It's called State Farm Assist, and it's a charity program that is run through State Farm, and Coal River Mountain Watch is in the running for a $25,000 grant, and it's entirely driven by social media. And you have to do it via Facebook. Sorry. But it's Facebook, you know, you can't do it on Twitter, and no. But it's real easy to do. What it is everybody between now and I think June 4th Everybody who participates gets 10 votes a day. And so what we're asking people to do is take those 10 votes and use them all on Coal River Mountain Watch every day. And if we come up with the most votes, the Judy Bond Center will be $25,000 to the good, and that will go a long way toward retiring the debt that was incurred in making the Judy Bonds Center for Appalachian Preservation a reality. You can vote once a day with all 10 votes. So you get 10 votes every day, and so tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and you do it yourself if you please. I'm asking, not telling. I'm not the telling people to do things guy. This ain't right-wing radio. But if you would please be so kind as to do this, it would be most helpful. And in point of fact, you would be engaging in some social activism that is a matter of mere mouse clicks and doesn't cost a dime. So thank you very kindly. Now, one thing, last night we did a three-hour tribute, a memorial to our dear friend, Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, and I still can't believe he's gone. It's not processing well. And, it was actually the 20th of the month, and I had Robert's, monthly 20th of the month up over down under challenge ready to go, but I didn't do it yesterday because of what yesterday was. So, this evening, a day late, Robert's 20th of the month, up, over, down, under challenge, comes our way. And Robert has put $50 Australian on the table, which works out to about $40 American. The Australian dollar and the American dollar were almost on a dead equal parity not too long back, but it has the surging dollar has made other currencies, not one-to-one. I mean, the dollar's so strong right now that the euro is almost one-to-one with the dollar, and that's unthinkable, I suppose, in the currency markets. Of course, a bunch of the banksters got busted in the last couple of days for manipulating the currency markets and the LIBOR rate. Yeah, they don't play fair. So Robert is looking for anyone, combination of people, to match his $40, at which point, you'll double your money. Your 5 becomes 10, 10, 20, 20, 40, up to the first $40 that come in. After that, our friend Steve in New York City also has a $25 challenge on the table. He's willing to match the next $25 that come in after Robert's 40, which would be an excellent start toward keeping us a wee little bit out in front for fundraising, because, after all, trying to raise $200 an evening for a radio program is really not that much. And, I talk about how when you contribute to the horn, you make it possible for other people to have it who can't. Well, we learned the beauty of that, because the fact of the matter is, it was people like Bill that you were keeping the horn going for, so that it would be there, and, there's no charge for access to the live stream or access to the rerun stream or access to the podcast. Nothing is charged for here. It is merely a matter of the determination of the community to keep it going forward. So if you want to, run over to the PayPal interface at headonradionetwork.com and ignore the more pushy, invasive, nosy queries on that first page, about the size of Uncle Cephas's bunions on his left big toe. No, forget that. Just put in enough information to get you to the next screen. It's always just about getting to the next screen, and that's where all the PayPal stuff and credit card stuff happens. If you prefer to use the U.S. Postal Service, well, that's fine, too. Checks and money orders can come in to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801, with the reminder that checks and money orders should never be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but should be made payable instead to the Horn, so that Boss Man Wayne, when he knows that there's something in the mailbox, can leave his spider-proof gloves at home, reach into the echo chamber, and send it away so that we can go into a frenzy of bill paying.
Huh.
Thank you. And in point of fact, thanks are going out right now for a $25 contribution. That takes that means only $15 to go on Robert and Australia's challenge. Thank you very, very much. I don't have a name associated with this. It's a business. Success Spirit Synergy. Thank you kindly. All right, then. So 15 to go on Robert's, and then $25 challenge on the table from Steve, and that'll be wonderful. All right. Coffee break's over. Back on your heads. Oh, yeah. And the tributes to Bill have continued to roll in. Oh, and I said we're going to talk about some programming stuff before we go into the swamp. So no program on Monday. After that, we should have a fairly ordinary broadcast week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay. The week after that gets weird. And I'll tell you why. Part of this is not for sure. It is not yet carved in stone. But as you know, Mr. Stress's memorial service will be held at the Euclid Tavern on Tuesday, June the 2nd. God, I think I inhaled a stink bug or something. Yuck. I am hoping, I'm hoping sincerely to be there for that. The plan being that we would get up early on Tuesday morning. It's only about 6 hours from here to Cleveland. And maybe Agnes and the boy and I run up there. And if Colin and the folks who are organizing the memorial are amenable and want me to do it, I'll stream it, so that everybody who cared about Bill can be a part of the memorial. And then on Wednesday, turn around and drive back home. So obviously there would be no program on Wednesday or Tuesday, June the 2nd, and maybe not on June the 3rd, depending on how long it takes me to get back from Cleveland. Then there's no program on Thursday, and there's no program on Friday. That would be June the 4th and June the 5th. Why, you ask? Well, I try to be, you know, straightforward about all of this. Our youngest is very proudly graduating from high school. And we have family coming in from about 1,000 miles away who will arrive on Thursday. And so we're going over to where they're going to be, and we're all going to just spend 3 days being all about Doodle. And so that's, you know, watch her graduate on Friday, and then, I don't know, go somewhere and have a picnic on Saturday, that kind of thing. And then hopefully, by June the 8th, which is the following Monday, the schedule comes back into some semblance of typicality, if not normalcy, remembering, of course, that normal is a setting on a dryer. And so, this coming week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all good. And in fact, we will have a guest evangelist with us on prayer meeting Wednesday of next week. And I think you are going to, find it most enjoyable, most entertaining. Awesome. All right, have we dealt with all the particulars? Steve, I will, relative to Bill's memorial, I will post the details as I get them on Facebook, so folks can know what's going on. Thank you very kindly to Gerald. Thank you, Gerald. We are finished now with Robert's challenge, and $5 started on Steve's. Wonderful. So there's $20 to go on Steve's challenge, and thank you very kindly to Robert for the monthly Up Over Down Under challenge from Australia. In point of fact, relative to that memorial service, I got a note from our buddy Thomas Jug of Punch. It has been published. Euclid Tavern it's been published at the Plain Dealer. Euclid Tavern to host memorial for Cleveland bluesman Mr. Stress. Bill is being treated with the regard in that community that he so very richly deserved. The memorial at the new Euclid Tavern, 11625 Euclid Avenue, Cleveland, starts at 6 p.m., and there will be musicians paying tribute to Mr. Stress. Colin DeSalt said, in lieu of a memorial in a funeral chapel, it is only fitting that we pay our respects to him at the Euclid Tavern in an environment that lends itself to his life and the life he spent making music. And a reminder, if you want to help out with those expenses, you can go to mrstress.net, mrstress.net, where there is a four-disc compilation called Stress Relief. And it is awesome. And I know a number of people in the Horn Family Commune congregation have already ordered it. Also coming up, according to the article, Smogvale Records out of Florida is putting together the Mr. Stress Blues Band Live at the Brick Cottage 1972-73 collection, and that is set for a November release. So I'm going to see if maybe they'd like to stream it. I would certainly be honored to do it. So, thank you, Thomas, for sending those details along. All right. Swamp. Get out the hip waders. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ron. Ron says you're sounding real good up here in the not-so-frozen north. Today we've got climate change. Ain't it grand? Listen to this. This is Canada, mind you. Today we've got mosquitoes, and tomorrow night we have a hard freeze warning. I'm always surprised to find that Canada's number of schizophrenics isn't higher than average. Oh, give it a chance. Climate change is just getting started. Yeah, that's a big one. I've got that in the stack, a little bit of breaking news out of the religion industry via our friend Robert in Morgantown. By the way, note coming in from Barbie. Hi, Barbie! Poignant show last night. And the Horn family remembering Bill for a life well lived. My sincere condolences to you and the whole Horn family for the loss of an old friend. May he be remembered forever. Thank you. Thank you, Barbie. Thank you very kindly. Where to begin? Well, lots of possibilities. But let's do go with that, since we didn't do prayer meeting Wednesday last night. Let's do go with that story that Robert in Morgantown mentioned, just by way of catching up. One sec. This is gross. This is really, no, yucky, gross, disgusting, and frankly, So we all know what a paragon of upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered fundies the Duggars are, right? They're the fundy equivalent of the Kardashians in many ways. It's just that there's even so much more of them. Springdale Police Department, Arkansas, that's our dateline, where In Touch Weekly... Yeah, that's where the journalism is happening now. In Touch Weekly dropped a Freedom of Information Act request on the Springdale, Arkansas Police Department. Not sure what kind of a tip they had, but it bore fruit. In Touch Weekly had in the past reported that Josh Duggar has had allegations of involvement in a sex scandal involving underage children. Yeah. Remember, this is Josh Duggar, who is, of course, a paid lobbyist for the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippistan. You know, the Brian Hunter, Donald Wildman outfit. Donald Wildman getting his start, I think, throwing hissies about Bugs Bunny cartoons back in the late 70s, early 80s. Damon Bunny Bibbit. Right. Well, back in 2002, before he was ever a reality TV star, and back before he was ever a lobbyist for the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippistan, police had a little chit-chat with Jim Bob Duggar, who is also a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered human being. And in talking to the police, and it was just a friendly little chat, I mean, because, see, the Duggars have some wherewithal, so therefore when the police come to visit them, it's just a friendly little sit-down, a little cup of coffee, that kind of thing. And in the police report that In Touch Weekly got, well, Jim Bob Duggar said, Josh, well, he touches girls inappropriately, we've been told. The inappropriate touching took place in 2002. They didn't, the Duggars didn't say anything until they were interviewed about it after there had been a complaint made in 2006. Now, how did the police find out? This is charming. In 2006, the Duggar Quiverful Clan. Yeah, the Duggar Quiverful Clan was scheduled to appear on Oprah back when Oprah still did a television show, and they were going to talk about their wonderful, great, big, huge family and how much they love Jesus. But someone anonymously dropped the dime on Josh Duggar for being a kiddie diddler. And Harpo Productions, which is Oprah spelled backwards, forwarded the tip to the Arkansas State Police Child Abuse Hotline. Yeah. The Arkansas State Police Child Abuse Hotline then let it filter downhill to the Springdale, Arkansas Police Department, who now, via this Freedom of Information Act request, has let it be known that Josh Duggar, grown-up paid lobbyist for the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, I'm sure close associate of Brian Fisher, proud son of Stanford and helmet-haired wonderkind of right-wing broadcasting. It turns out that Josh Duggar had been accused of fondling. See, when you're a white, Bible-believing, upstanding, God-fearing, Christ-centered Christian, like the Duggars are, you don't get accused of diddling or sexually abusing. He was accused of fondling the breasts and vaginas of multiple minor girls whilst they were sleeping. And sometimes when they were awake. But not to worry, because Jim Bob Duggar said Josh had been disciplined for doing what he done. Because Jim Bob met with leaders of his Quiverful church right after they found out about the incidents, and they decided they'd send Josh away to a program that consisted of hard physical work and counseling. It was a training center. Only Michelle Duggar then later let it slip that no, it wasn't really no training center. That what it was is Josh was working for a family friend who remodeled houses. That's how you learn not to fondle the breasts and vaginas of little sleeping girls. That's how you hard work. And okay, so it's a little confusing here. Arkansas State Trooper Jim Hutchins met at the insistence of Jim Bob Duggar. He told Josh, you're going to meet with Trooper Hutchins here. This was back in 2003. And that's when, Jesus Christ, if this thing had any more white privilege all over it, it would literally be whitewashed, not figuratively. White privilege washed. So Trooper Hutchins sits down with Josh Duggar and give him a very stern talking to. Those are in quotes. He had a very stern talk. Now, son, you're 14-year-old. You see this here badge, right? And you seen the roller outside? See the gun, son? I'm a cop. Now, understand, if your skin was any darker, I'd already have the handcuffs on you, boy. And we'd be off to find you a place to live. Where there might be some folks wanting to fondle you. But you're not. And I know your daddy is a good, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, quiverful feller. I mean, we go to church together and everything. Well, dang it, boy. You gotta stop groping of the little girls. You got to stop it. I know, you can't get them to talk to you, and they run away from you when they awake. But that doesn't mean you get to grope them when they asleep. It just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. So Arkansas State Trooper Jim Hutchins gives Josh that stern talking to in 2003. It's going to be a little difficult to get any further information from Trooper Hutchins because he's kind of incommunicado right now. Because Arkansas State Trooper Jim Hutchins is presently pulling a 56-year prison sentence for child pornography. You know, if these people just had vowels on the end of their names, we'd swear that they were a racketeer-influenced corrupt organization, and we might be able to do something about these damn Duggars. Instead, they're millionaires. So, during the investigation in 2006, which apparently kind of got hushed up after Josh Duggar got his very stern talking to, what are described as multiple victims gave statements
to the police that Josh Duggar had sexually abused them. But it's okay, because Josh Duggar apologized. And it's right there in the police report. Josh Duggar apologized to the girls and said, "I am so sorry. I violated your personal space and violated your sexuality and violated you and molested you and fondled you and groped you. I'm real sorry. I really am." And then the Duggar family informed the police that all of the girls that he had fondled and assaulted and molested, well, they took it to the Lord in prayer. And they had forgiven Josh just as Christ forgives us all. Yes, they had. And after that, Josh Dunn went and returned to the Lord. No, I don't mean he died or anything. He just started going back to church. Or I don't know, handling an extra snake every Sunday or taking an extra swig of strychnine or some such. He sought after God and turned back to God. And Jim Bob Duggar told the police, "Now listen, several members of our church are aware of what happened. And they've been very supportive of the family." So you're asking yourself, well, why in the sweet name was something not done? Why, I mean, it was a juvenile. Why wasn't there a juvenile petition? I mean, this isn't something that happened once. This kid was out there molesting girls a lot. Well, according to the source speaking to In Touch Weekly, they said, a technicality prevented any further action. Yeah, and by the way, just in case you're wondering, most of the real experts on the topic will tell you that sex offenders of the type that Josh Duggar is, they really can't be cured. They really can't. Now, see, let's be clear about something. I am and remain very, very critical of the way that, what passes for a criminal justice system in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth today, now, forever. Very critical. But I am also not some sort of rose-colored glasses wearing knife Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm type either. I recognize that there is evil in the world. I recognize that there are bad effing people in the world. I recognize that there are predators in the world. Now me, I don't think we need a prison system. I don't think we need enough prisons. I don't think the American people are as awful as our prison population indicates. I think that the American people our various county, state, local, and federal governments have created a bunch of crimes in order to keep the stockholders of outfits like Corrections Corporation of America happy. And so we've got a lot of people in prison. You know, we have the most imprisoned population of any so-called developed country in the world, and that might be in part because we are backsliding toward being undeveloped or less developed or underdeveloped. We got a lot of people in prison don't have any business being there. There's nobody in prison on a pot rap who belongs there. Frankly, people who get busted for DUI, they don't need to be imprisoned. They need to get sober and learn to stop drinking and driving. Now, on the other hand, if you kill somebody while you're out drinking and driving, yeah, we got a prison bed for you. But America, as I've noted frequently, has a punishment fetish, but it is a punishment fetish that is disproportionately exercised upon people of color in this country. It is not exercised on the Josh Duggars in this country. Oh, by the way, one last thing. When the girls who were molested by Josh Duggar were interviewed, some of them were his sisters. Yeah, really. The report that was obtained by In Touch Weekly noted some of the underage victims of Josh Duggar lived with Jim Bob Duggar and Michelle Duggar and Josh Duggar. It is hell enough on earth, and I hope I'm not triggering for anybody. If I am, I apologize. It is hell on earth enough to be sexually assaulted, sexually molested, sexually abused. Or if you've got a sort of dark side cloak of inviolability, fondled. But what do you do? And this is I don't have an answer to this. It's more in the way of, you know, we've got some people who work in the mental health profession in the Horn Family Commune congregation. We have some survivors in the Horn Family Commune congregation. What do you do when daddy comes to you and says, now, sugar lump, we know about what Josh has been doing to you in the night, and I know you know. And I want you to know that we think it ain't right, but, you know, he's a boy, and boys will be boys. And, you know, Jesus wants you to forgive him. Can you forgive him, sweetie? Baby doll, Jesus forgives you of your sins. Can you forgive Josh as Jesus has forgiven you? What do you do? What do you do when you're a 7-year-old girl or a 9-year-old girl or a 12-year-old girl? What do you do when you're a little girl and you live under the same roof as your abuser and you're told you have to forgive him? What do you fucking do? Where's the option? Where's choice? Because, remember, these weirdo fundamentalist evangelical Christians, they're very, very tight-knit and very clannish. And they do not let a lot of sunlight from the outside world shine on their dark and nefarious deeds. What do you do? Do you tell a teacher at school? Well, hell, that your teacher at school may very well go to the same damn church, that Quiverful church, that these freak cultists go to, too. Do you try to sneak off to the police sometime when you just say that you're going down to the playground? But you can't do that because mommy or daddy's watching you all the time. And if you go down to the police, what happens? Well, you get State Trooper Jim Hutchins, who apparently has his own little problem with child pornography. I don't have an answer. Except to say that maybe if these little girls grow up and get away, then maybe they can have 20 years of therapy trying to get well from what basically their father and mother brushed under the rug. I mean, after all, you're not gonna let a little bit of serial sexual molestation get in the way of millions of dollars in a television contract, are you? I mean, priorities. The business of America is business. And Christ Jesus has blessed that family so that they can make millions in His name and go unto all the nations of the world, a spreading of the gospel. I don't know, but if anybody has any input, I welcome it. We'll be going to the conversation portion of the program in fairly short order. You know how to reach the program, 304-574-8178. That's one line. And the newly christened stress line is 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. I'm honestly... I'm not saying that the molestation of a sister is worse than the molestation of a neighbor girl. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. I do not wish for that to be my understood as saying that. But the problem is particularly bad when it happens inside the family. And there's no mechanism, is there? There is no mechanism for protecting those children. It's not one of the sisters, it was some of the sisters. And of course, it kind of makes you wonder a little bit about Jim Bob. Because anybody who would quietly try to make that go away with a stern talking to from a kiddie porn cop, I think he doesn't understand. Well, one, you know for a fact that he doesn't understand the gravity of the situation. He has no regard for the rights of the victim. He has no understanding of the lasting effects of sexual assault, abuse, and molestation on a child. And yeah, you get to ask what was done to Josh. See, I remember several years ago when there was a creep by the name of Brent Benjamin running for the Supreme Court of the state of West Virginia. Yeah, he won election because Don Blankenship, yeah, the one indicted in relation to the deaths of 29 minors incinerated past recognition as actual human beings in the Upper Big Branch disaster, that Don Blankenship poured a couple of million dollars into trying to put Brent Benjamin on the court so that he could protect his own sorry ass from a coming appeal in the Supreme Court. And the way they got the way Don Blankenship got Brent Benjamin onto the Supreme Court was to beat up the incumbent, a man by the name of McGraw, who was a good man, good lawyer, good legal mind, but they were liberals, the McGraw brothers. Darryl, his brother, was attorney general for quite some time, and for as long as Darryl McGraw sat in the attorney general's office, people, ordinary work-a-day, people who had been screwed by corporations and dodgy money-making schemes and, well, the usual suspects, they had an everyday on-the-job advocate on the behalf of everyday West Virginians in the office. Darryl's out of the office now, too, and we got a teabagger by the name of Morrissey. He's a blivet. We define blivet in this state as 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound onion bag. But the way they got rid of Justice McGraw from the Supreme Court and replaced him with Brent Benjamin was to smear Justice McGraw, in particular, for an opinion that it exercised a little bit of mercy on a juvenile sexual offender who didn't get near the mercy that Josh Duggar got. His name was Tony. Maybe Gerald can remember Tony's last name. I can't at the moment. But what happened is when they exercised some mercy toward Tony, Tony did what sex offenders tend to do and reoffended. And so they absolutely tarred and feathered Warren McGraw with that in via a political action committee that was called And for the Sake of the Kids. And these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Republicans howled at the fact that the young man had been allowed to have, you know, work release. Presumably they just wanted him, you know, murdered, killed, executed. But see, we don't have the death penalty in West Virginia. But now that we've got a Republican legislature, I'm sure we'll be rethinking that. But they absolutely had a conniption over it. And they sufficiently slimed Warren McGraw over it well enough with millions of dollars for the sake of the kids. That they were able to put a paid, bought, and paid for creature of Don Blankenship on the court. There will be no such outcry over Josh Duggar. Because he's not perfect. Just forgiven. Yeah. I don't know the answer to these questions. I don't. But I don't think Josh Duggar should be walking around a free man. What's going to happen when Josh Duggar has a little girl? Does he already have a little girl? Little girls? How will Mama protect Josh Duggar or protect their children from Josh Duggar? But the whole point of bringing up Tony's story from the whole and for the sake of the kids thing is that part of the reason he became a sexual abuser is because beginning very early in his life, he had been the recipient, the victim of sexual abuse. And it wasn't described as fondling. This was sexual abuse that was relentless and remorseless. And frankly, it was a miracle that he didn't turn out to be a serial killer or a brain eater, you know, a Dahmer. Not to say that one is any more or less than the other, but it was. And so it's a fair question. When you've got someone who serially molests his own siblings and other young females as well, it is a fair question to ask what was done to him. And it is a fair question then to ask who did it. So there's that. What else? Not that there's any linkage between the two. But good God, again, we're talking about children here. And I got another story. This one centered on a Chicago woman. She has fled to Mexico because she has developed a cure. Yeah, really, a cure for autism. And she's being persecuted here in the United States for curing children of autism. When people criticize her, Carrie Rivera, when people criticize her, she says that they're just haters and trolls. She claims that she has a miracle mineral solution that has cured 170 children of autism. Now, bear in mind that the medical community, via things like peer-reviewed studies and actual science, will tell you that there's no cure for autism. And you can't make autism go away. How does Carrie Rivera cure children of autism? She gives them bleach enemas. Really. You know, when you check in with the right-wing evangelical fundamentalist religion industry, they'll tell you they're all worried about homosexuality destroying the traditional family. But they're pretty damn quiet on whether or not the Josh Duggars of the world groping and molesting little girls, what impact that has on the traditional family. And they're constantly worrying about, you know, how gay people have sex. They fixate on it. They pontificate on it. They fulminate over it. And again, this is one of those things where my imagination is simply a horror for me. Ah, thank you. Tony Dean Arbaugh. He's the boy who was serially sexually abused and then abused in his own right and was used as a flogging tool in that political campaign in 2004. Tony Dean Arbaugh. So it's not enough that Carrie Rivera is you know, using bleach. And the bleach, by the way, is a mixture of sodium chloride salt and citric acid. When you mix them, they become chlorine dioxide. And Carrie Rivera claims that autism is caused by slimy parasites. And the chlorine dioxide kills the parasites and washes them out of the bowels of autistic children. It is hard enough to try to conceive of the world in an autistic child inhabits and the degree to which they can comprehend the world around them and even interact with it. To think of a monster like Carrie Rivera giving them enemas. Because they're fixated. I mean, it sounds to me like this woman has some sort of obsessive compulsive disorder with germs. You know, that really exists. It sounds like she's the one with the problem. By the way, according to the Food and Drug Administration, the treatment is potentially life-threatening. How do you know if the baby or if the young person, the child, how do you know if the child that you have animated with a bleach enema is getting better and having their slimy parasites removed from their colons? Well, you know the baby is getting better if the baby gets nauseated. On the other hand, the FDA will tell you that when human beings ingest in one way or another an industrial bleach, they get nauseated. What happens with small dose chronic exposure to chlorine dioxide? Well, it does neurodevelopmental damage and reproductive damage. And if you're even going to be around this stuff in an industrial setting, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has protocols, standards, for how to avoid exposure and how much exposure is dangerous. But just like the little girls we were talking about moments ago, how can an autistic child be protected against this kind of monstrosity? I don't know. I don't know. Especially since this woman has fled to Mexico. Those poor, poor children. I gave my 3-year-old son a bleach enema, and he was immediately looking me in the eyes. He was smiling at me. He was back, almost as if he had come back to the body. Autism is treatable, it's avoidable, and I believe that it's curable. Notice the use of the word believe. As the symptoms go away, the diagnosis fades as well. I bet it really goes away when the kid dies. By the way, the whole bleach enema thing was developed by a guy who has since split off from the Church of Scientology. The horror. So that's the beginning of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. That is the first thorn, as it were. I want to thank Barbie very much. She also noted that she is providing a day's funding as a have a show on bill. Thank you, Barbie. Thank you indeed. So all challenges are met. Thank you, Robert, and thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. Like I said, both lines are open. 304-574-8178 has someone on it. We will be going to the phones presently. We'll take a little break. It's Thursday, so we have the Green News Report out. Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And, well, your calls. The stress line, 304-663-4676. Well, that line's open if you want to get involved in the conversation. Like I said, new callers are always welcome, as are our old friends. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Radio that you make happen. And we'll be back presently. Sorry, looking for an appropriate bumper. I think I got one. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Elders grew up, and so please help them with your needs. They seek the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
It's Thursday, May 21, 2015.
The beach was just covered in thick, black crude. The rocks were covered. The waves that were coming in were just black oil.
Major oil spill off the coast of Santa Barbara. Another settlement reached in the 2010 BP oil spill. Fossil fuels subsidized to the tune of $5 trillion a year. Plus,
it will impact how our military defends our country. And so we need to act, and we need to act now.
President Obama tells Coast Guard cadets climate change is a threat to national security.
Well, of course he does. All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The overwhelming amount of science was against Galileo.
No, Congressman Louis Gohmert, Republican from Texas. The church was against Galileo. The science was always on his side. Man, 400 years later, and you religious right-wing deniers are still getting it wrong. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, it wasn't the 1969 oil spill off Santa Barbara, California coast, which was the worst the country had ever seen at the time, but it was still pretty bad on the beaches of Santa Barbara over the past day or two.
Yep, that was an oil pipeline that ruptured on Tuesday, gushing an estimated 105,000 gallons of crude oil onto the beautiful coastline of California near Santa Barbara. That's about 100 miles north of Los Angeles.
All of a sudden, we smelled this terrible smell like gasoline, and we went out to the beach, and it was an oil spill.
Wow, happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, that ruptured pipeline, owned by Houston-based Plains All American Pipeline, created an oil slick 9 miles long and deposited a thick layer of crude oil on popular Refugio State Beach, where the campgrounds had been booked solid for Memorial Day, but were evacuated and closed. Santa Barbara County Fire Chief Dan Zaniboni said quick action by the campers prevented a worse spill.
They were the ones that actually discovered the thick oil spill in the ocean. They were able to direct people into that area and ultimately get that pipeline shut down in a much faster way. They probably, you know, by doing that, they saved miles of coastline.
This new oil spill is in the same location where that massive oil spill hit in Santa Barbara in 1969. 4 million gallons, that killed thousands of birds and galvanized the environmental movement. It also led to a moratorium on all new drilling off of California's coast, but existing platforms were grandfathered in. And those wells were the source of the new oil spill.
Crude oil, the gift that keeps on giving.
Meanwhile, some accountability in another oil spill. 5 years after the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, plaintiffs who suffered damages have reached a legal settlement with Transocean, the owner of the doomed Deepwater Horizon drilling rig. If approved by the court, Transocean will pay nearly $212 million to settle all claims with Gulf Coast individuals and business owners. Now, it doesn't sound like much, but the judge overseeing the claims litigation ruled that BP bears the lion's share of responsibility.
So this is just what Transocean has to cough up. They were the owners of the actual rig.
Right.
BP is going to actually end up paying a whole lot more.
Billions and billions more.
That's good.
A shocking new analysis from the International Monetary Fund concludes that the fossil fuel industry receives the equivalent of $5 trillion in subsidies every year. That's $5 trillion around the world when you account for the external costs of fossil fuels, from cleaning up environmental damage like oil spills to billions of dollars in health care costs caused by toxic pollution. These are external costs that are not paid for by the fossil fuel industry, but instead are borne by the public. That's $10 million every single minute, says the IMF, and that's greater than the total health spending of all the world's governments.
Well, Republicans are going to be against this because they don't like taxpayers paying for... never mind.
Finally, climate change is a serious threat to global and national security. That's what President Barack Obama told the Coast Guard's graduating class of cadets in Connecticut this week. Taking a jab at climate science deniers, Obama said to deny climate change is a dereliction of duty.
If you see storm clouds gathering or dangerous shoals ahead, you don't sit back and do nothing. You take action to protect your ship. Anything less is negligence. It is a dereliction of duty, and so too with climate change. Denying it or refusing to deal with it endangers our national security.
It's interesting. It has been the military that has really taken the lead on a lot of issues concerning climate change. They seem to understand the risk. They know it's a security threat, even if the people in government who claim to support our troops don't seem to get it. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download the Green News Report anytime via iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And it is exactly halfway through the program, even given the late start, for which I continue to apologize. We're halfway through this Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's run over to the let's run over to what we refer to as the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hello.
There you are.
Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? This is Todd. You know, I haven't talked to you in a while. Oh, God. I haven't been able to listen to the program lately, and I haven't heard Dr. Bill in a while, but I tuned in right when you were on the story about the pedophile, the abuse, and then the state trooper, I lost it then. I was like, well, WTF, you know what I mean?
I mean,
those are just words. Okay, the state trooper's involved in child pornography on top of that, but I mean, when you put the pieces together with that, because kids are not stupid these days. They're like, well, who am I supposed to tell? What am I supposed to do now if I'm being abused?
And there's no answer in this case, Todd. I mean, the little girls in the Duggar family, there's no way they could get away from it. They're homeschooled.
Yeah, I didn't get that part. Jesus.
I mean, it's terrifying to consider.
Yeah. See, you know, I grew up in the city, but I've been to small communities in Pennsylvania and West Virginia where literally there's nothing. That's it. You got the church. If you go to church or whatever, there's a little community. They don't even have a library, you know. You're just out there, you know. I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? What are the kids supposed to do? Can you hear me?
I got you.
Yeah, I tuned in late, and I don't know if you, just today on BBC, they were talking about this, Operation Hydrant in the UK. It's a huge pedophilia ring that they're cracking into, and it touches the higher echelon of the British government. So I don't know if you were aware of that. So all this stuff is coming home to roost right now. And then it also made me think about this documentary. I don't know if you heard about it. It's called Conspiracy of Silence. And it was from the 80s. It was on the Discovery Channel, and it got yanked because it was about the congressional people engaging in pedophilia. Via Boys Town, and they had plenty of money. It's on YouTube, but I mean, they showed it one time on TV, and they were made to pull it because of who was implicated. It's an awful, it's just painful.
Yeah, it is. It's painful. It's terrifying. It defies description. And you know, and what's the solution?
Well, you know, the only way is to start, and actually, like I'm still on food stamps, but I have a little part time job right now. I'm working with a group called 100 Men Strong, and I'm a facilitator with this group, and we bring awareness to sexual abuse and child abuse and domestic violence and things of that nature. And when people don't talk about it, because it's like you said, so you do the research or whatever, if you go to school for this. Most people who abuse have been abused. That's just the way it works. And like you said, the recidivism rate, it's something that most of the time it can't be cured because you're just so fucked up. You get so fucked up. At least most of the men do. That they're not able to control themselves.
Oh, we've got a little breaking news surrounding Josh Duggar, Todd. I just got a tweet from Isaac and Carol Baker also let me know that now that this is broken, do you know what Josh Duggar's response has been? Care to guess?
I feel like I've been kicked in the chest, so you have to tell me.
He said, I acted inexcusably, and then he resigned from the Family Research Council, and then he said, you know, this happened when I was a young teen.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, it means that everybody's supposed to give him a great big old white privilege break. Because after all, he's a Christian, Todd, and Jesus has forgiven him. Why shouldn't we? I mean, we've all done things we ain't proud of, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
By the way, just so that we can get the full sickening portrait of this monstrosity. He in the past has referred to gay people as a threat to child safety.
Oh my God! See, these people are—I don't know. Maybe it's me, but it appears that I've only been dealing with politics for, let's say, 35 years, right? Since I was about 15, but. These people who claim to be, I'm all about family or values and all this bullshit, they're the biggest perverts. I mean, that's just how it appears. I mean, somebody proved me wrong. But these are the people. I can't generalize like that. It touches every community, but it's just, that's what I'm saying. It's communication. When you see this in your family or anywhere, you have to speak out on it because it perpetuates itself. I mean, like, I have a neighbor, right? And I swear that little girl's being abused. There is no way that little girl is acting like that. She's like 7, right?
Yeah, the psychologists have a term for it. It is acting out behavior.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And see, that's what they'll do. Like, if you're a counselor, they'll bring you in and they'll give the kid a TAT, thematic aperture test, TAT test, right? Or they'll ask them to draw a picture, you know, or describe what they see in a picture. You know, they're over-sexualized.
No, I know.
You're supposed to teach kids. Where do you start with this? Where do you start?
Well, from my perspective, Todd, and I realize, you know, nobody has to adopt my perspective as their own. This isn't that kind of program. No, there are no. We're liberals. We're progressives. We don't do marching orders. I ain't Limbaugh. My friends, you need to. You know how they are.
Mm.
But it seems to me that given the fact when these things occur, you can almost find out, it is very seldom that these things are done by people who are irreligious. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
It is quite often the exact opposite. They are hyper-religious. And they haunt centers of authority because authoritarianism is a perfect place to hide in plain sight. You have a religious philosophy that says that whatever you do in the world, you can be forgiven. And so there's no monstrosity that is too much for a psychopath or a sociopath operating within the Christian community to commit. Because Jesus will give him a pass for the asking. That's, I mean, you know, understand the core message of Christianity. Jesus Christ was crucified for all sins, past, present, and future. For every Josh Duggar who would grope his own sister's sex organs, that is why the Romans nailed Jesus Christ into a cross. And Jesus knew it because he's God and he sees all, knows all, tells nothing, right? So, wham! The hammer hits the nail and Jesus knows that 2,000 years in the future, there's going to be a creepy little teenage boy sneaking into his baby sister's bedroom and fondling her vagina. Wham! The hammer comes down again. And Jesus is just laying there on getting nailed into the cross going, well, I forgive him. No real answer in Christianity for why the little girl has to be a sort of co-equal sacrificial victim in this tableau. They still haven't explained it. They can't.
Well, using that logic also, you know, Satan is a fallen angel. Lucifer was a fallen angel. And apparently they deal in a lot of child sex rituals. And that's also, you know, Satan doesn't mean a religion. I mean, I don't like it. I don't know, you know, whoever, whatever it is. It is a religion, and they also adopt that type of nonsense. You know, and obviously we have these cats.
And how many Satanists are there who practice that kind of thing, assuming that they do? How many are there compared to the world's Christian membership? I'm saying there's a base philosophical problem here. Now, granted,
I get the gist of what you were saying. What you're saying is that, like, okay, I can give in to my desire because I'll be forgiven. That's what you're saying. That's the gist. I mean, that's what I'm taking from what you said.
I mean, there's a great scene, and, you know, everything's a reference to a movie with me. There's a great, you've seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, right?
I don't know. I have
George Clooney, three guys on the run in 1930s Mississippi after breaking out of prison.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've seen that. Yeah. Right.
Well, there's one scene where Delmer is explaining to the other two fellas, one of whom is George Clooney, that he's been baptized and God has forgiven him for the things that he got sent to prison for. And in delightful fashion, George Clooney answers, well, that's all well and good, Delmer. But I don't think the state of Mississippi takes the same accommodating view of forgiveness as does the Christian church. This particular case with Josh Duggar becomes more painful and more maddening and more infuriating because he was in fact a teenager. And there seems to be no question but what he did these crimes because they were crimes. Okay? Now, depending on what state you're in, the laws work out differently, but I'm almost certain that in 2006 in Arkansas, there was a juvenile delinquency proceeding set forth in the state code. And within that, there was also a provision for certain crimes that are so heinous that you move to treat the juvenile offender as an adult. It happens
right.
All the time. It happens all the time. The 15-year-old black kid shoots somebody else. Well, by God, the prosecutor's right there with a petition in front of the court saying, I move to treat him as an adult so when we convict his ass, we can send him to prison. This is a monster.
Right.
This is a heinous criminal.
Because he knew right from wrong. That's right. Yep.
And so here, in the case of Josh Duggar, you have juvenile, you have acts which, if committed by an adult, would constitute felonies probably, but would have to be charged as a juvenile offense at the time, But a prosecutor could have looked at this serial pattern and said, oh, no, we got a problem here. He needs to be treated as an adult. He needs to be incarcerated. He needs to be removed from the presence of children that he can harm. But it becomes horrifying, Todd, when you realize that there was nowhere in the entire governmental structure. Law enforcement knew about it. The Harpo production people called the child abuse hotline in Arkansas. The state police got involved. The Springdale police got involved. And I don't know, it remains to be seen whether the prosecutor got involved. And everybody decided that the innocent little Christian white boy child molester just needed to say, I'm sorry, and ask forgiveness of Jesus.
Well, he didn't mean it, Bob. He was like you said, boys will be boys. He'll be fine. They didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. You know?
Yeah.
And he'll be fine. When he grows up, he'll be fine. You know, when he gets into the workplace, he'll cheat his coworkers in a fine.
Well, no, I mean, he went to the perfect place. He became a Washington, D.C. lobbyist for the American Family Association. Talking about traditional American family values and traditional marriage and how the gays is a threat to child safety. Now, if anybody wanted to do the homework involved with this, here's how it pans out. What do you want to bet? How many, because, you know, what are there, 20 Republican presidential candidates now?
Right now, but tomorrow it'll be 25.
Right. It's like the Hydra. But what do you want to bet that if you go digging around, you can find a photograph of Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz with his arm around the shoulder of Josh Duggar, shaking his hand and smiling like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush? What do you want to bet that photo exists? What do you want to bet there's a photo out there, Todd, of God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered brother pastor Governor Mike Huckabee pressing the flesh? And my God, that comes in, that gets a whole new meaning when you in this context, pressing the flesh with Josh Duggar.
Hey, if Billy Graham or whoever that was can snort meth off of a male prostitute's ass crack, then
Ted Haggard.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. This, you know, I mean, I don't have nothing against ass crack. Now, crack, that's no good for you. But these people are insane. You know, they're so repressed. I'll be honest with you, man. Ever since I moved down here, what the fuck is up with these Southern Baptists? They swear they are God's gift, and it's like, you're fucked up. They don't even understand how fucked up they are. And they fuck their kids up.
That's why I describe myself as a recovering Southern Baptist, Todd. I will never get well. I will never be cured.
I didn't know that. See, I'm just seeing this shit. This is what the fuck is wrong with these people? They're insane. They really are insane. I mean, they'll look you in the face and they'll say some dumb ass crooked shit. That's so convoluted. I'm like, you really didn't say that. They're just like, oh, I'm serious. I'm like, oh,
you know,
during
the recent consideration of a non-discrimination ordinance in what Fayetteville, Arkansas, and our dear friend Haley talked about this a good bit. The Duggars weighed in with the wild bigoted glee. And Josh Duggar, as Isaac reminds me on Twitter, Josh Duggar said, trans people will assault kids in bathrooms. Well, okay, Josh, if that's what you're worried about, I guess it's okay if you assault little girls in their beds in their sleep.
Exactly. Well, they're professionals at projection, you know. They talk about the thief while they're stealing your wallet. You know, that's their M.O., Oh, my God.
By God, there it is. That didn't take long, Todd. You'll be pleased to know that Tim from L.A., using the miracle of the interweb tubes, you know, it's not a big truck, Dunn found the photo. Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz standing right next to child sexual abuser Josh Duggar, and they're both grinning like foxes eating shit out of wire brushes.
And they both look crazy, I bet. I haven't seen the Duggar guy, but Cruz looks a little wacky. Yeah.
Well, no, they got that slimy, sleazy. There he is with Rick Perry. There he is with Bro Fromix, Rick Santorum. Thank you, Isaac.
Oh, stop. I know about Rick, man. He's from my home state. Oh, he's a fucking weirdo.
And he's about to announce his presidential campaign. In the name of Jesus.
Shit. When it gets to the point where people have labeled the frothy mix of gay sex your name, you need to step the fuck back.
Step off.
I mean, your shit is done, man. Come on. So I hope this stuff gets viral because I just get really kind of upset when I hear about like on C-SPAN in the morning, which I love to listen to because that's the pulse of America. You hear these people calling like, Ted Cruz ought to be president. He's the best thing. That's what we need is a real leader like Ted Cruz. I'm like, you dumb motherfucker. What the
you
hell
do
is
that?
Wrong
you
with?
Wait. You do that way too good. You might want to take a break from C-SPAN Washington Journal, Todd.
I'm telling you, it's
But that's because you know the script. We are a nation that has fallen from the way of righteousness. Born of God's will.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I live 40 miles from the epicenter of the Tea Party. Understand? Lexington, South Carolina is the Tea Party epicenter.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
And
there's more crazy. There's more crazy per square inch there. Than just about any other state in the union.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, Bob, and that's the only way. You know, I have to hear this stuff. You know, and it rubs off. Looking, I hear these. It's like satire. You're walking through a satire. You know, it's a living satire, but it's real. But it's not. But it is. But it's not. These people are crazy, man.
Yeah, you mean it's a dessert topping, it's a floor wax, it's both?
And fractals.
Oh, and hey, the photo has now been found of Chester the Molester. That's what we're calling Josh Duggar now. The photo has been found of Chester the Molester with Pastor Brother Governor Huxterby.
And so
each of their individual campaigns will now have to issue press releases saying we find it morally repulsive the things that have come to light about Josh Duggar, and of course we knew nothing of them, and it is unfair for people to think that just because we had our photograph taken with him that we somehow endorse his lifestyle. Wait a minute, are we going to talk about this as a lifestyle now?
Yes. Yes.
Is this a choice? Wait. Todd, is this a choice?
Oh, don't be all Ben Carson on me. Stop that shit. You remember what Ben Carson said, right? He said when the guys go into prison, they come back and they're gay because they chose to be gay.
Oh, that's right. Know? Yeah. Oh, breaking. There is a photograph of Josh Duggar and Godzilla from Wasilla, Sarah Palin.
Oh, boy. Well, let's see if they distance themselves or if they address it. But see, they'll be able to brush this off. You know, these people are just, they don't accept the truth. They don't. It's an illness. I really can understand your view, your perspective. If you grow up Southern Baptist, that's like being abused. It's like being abused. I could see that. You know, I got a friend, and she had to take her kids out of that church. You know, she's from Rhode Island. and she was looking for a good church or whatever, so they went to Southern Baptist. I told her, I was like, man, I don't think you want to go to that church. She's like, no, but I can get a job, and that's where all the movers and shakers go. I was like, yeah, but they're different. You know, she didn't believe me. So they lasted about 4 weeks, and she was like, those motherfuckers are crazy.
They're crazy.
She was like, it's like a cult.
And see, that's the thing. When you tell somebody in advance and then they figure it out, you really do get to say, four words, I told you so.
Yep. You know,
this just in, there's a photograph of Josh Duggar with Wisconsin governor and darling of the Koch brothers, Scott Walker, courtesy of our good friend Michael in Madison.
So, speaking of which, is our money still on Scott? Because I still think my money's on him.
It got a little interesting last week when the Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal that basically sent back to Wisconsin the wholesale investigation of just about every breath that Scott Walker ever took while he was either in his first term as governor or his time as city administrator in Milwaukee. He might get indicted.
Is that close?
At which point Chuck and Dave will drop him like a hot rock.
That's true, because they could transfer that money. I believe, isn't that the way that works? He can move his war chest to someone else if he's asked to or pressured.
Well, they haven't spent it yet. So, maybe they'll decide that they're big John Wilkes or John Ellis Bush fans after all.
Yeah. I have a bad habit of commenting on people's intelligence because I'm just average, but I'll be honest with you. Jeb, I don't think he has the intellectual tools to be president.
Oh, and his big brother did?
I'm trying to keep this simple.
Dick Cheney's got the heart of a 16-year-old beating in his chest now. John Ellis Bush has already said that his foreign policy advisor is his big brother W. Hell's bells. Count Dicula is just sitting there in the coffin with a little dirt from the home country sprinkled around him, waiting by the phone. I'm certainly feeling up to being vice president some more. I'm sure there's a country that needs to be slaughtered and have their blood drunk.
He's a sick fuck.
Get Scooter Libby on the phone.
I was appalled. He's every morning talk show at one Sunday, he said, yeah, I'd do it again. I'm like, man, you're just fucking crazy. He can't leave the country. He has very few countries you can go to. They'll fucking extradite his ass for war crimes.
Oh, and you know what? Really, Todd, Christmas has come early. There it is. Josh Duggar standing next to Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head.
He's hiding something there.
Now, you know what? It could be that the only one out there that hasn't had a picture taken with Josh Duggar is John Wilkes, Ellis Bush. Because, you know, Mother Bush doesn't approve of running around with those people. And the Duggars probably wouldn't want anything to do with John Ellis Bush because, you know, he's a Catholic.
Yeah. Isn't it? I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's interesting because they do have, I don't know who started it, or started years ago, I guess, the clown car, but they look like just a bunch of buffoons engaged in buffoonery, and they don't even know it. And it's just like stepping on each other's clown feet. You know, and, Well, Hillary is not my cup of tea. I mean, I want to have, it would be great to have a female leader. You know, it would be great. I would love to have a female leader.
Because Margaret Thatcher, because Margaret Thatcher was awesome, wasn't she?
Well, not that female leader.
I'm sorry. It is every bit as sexist to say that it would be better to have a female leader than a male leader as it is to say it would be better to have a male than a female, black or white, you know, whatever. That's just kind of, Todd. It's a matter of who the person is. And no, Secretary Mrs. Senator Clinton has never. I mean, she's. Let's see. What did Chris Matthews say about W, that he gave him a throb in his pants or something like that?
They were.
It's out there. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do what I can for Bernie.
Oh, that's who I'm with. And you know, this will be the first. And you know, I'm sorry if I come across as being sexist or whatever. There's a lot of women in my family, and I just feel like women are better negotiators.
Oh, I'm not gonna push back on that. I'm just, I'm thinking about Indira Gandhi, the first female leader of India,
right.
whose administration was so corrupt that the thieves were stealing from the thieves.
I didn't know about that part.
Oh yeah, horribly corrupt.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Margaret Thatcher, of course.
I don't know, gold in my ear, and wasn't she had it? Well, I'm not down with Israel right now either. I'm sorry, I cut you off. So you were saying something.
Oh, I don't know. Bernie.
Yeah, okay. Oh, what I was going to say is that this will be the first election where I really don't care if quote unquote my vote doesn't count because. Well, you know, it's the primary anyway. I'm voting for Bernie. He's got a lot of traction behind him,
I don't know. I mean, will he be on the Democratic primary in ballot in South Carolina?
I don't know. Well, you know, it's a good
question. If I were you, if I were a progressive in South Carolina, because they have these screwed up primary rules, probably. They have open primaries. Mm-hmm. Way back in 1960 when my dad moved to Alabama from here, they had open primaries, and it blew his mind that a Republican could vote in a Democratic primary.
No, that's what they have here. They have open primaries.
So I would think more in terms of going in and, of course, I don't know if they're going to need any help, going in and rat-fucking the Republican primary.
Yeah, I've done that.
Go in and vote for the absolute most whack-a-mole loony doodle in the entire GOP clown car. Now, the problem there is figuring out who that is.
Well, isn't that something they're all equally sufficient?
I mean, Rick Santorum?
Oh, man.
Lindsey Graham? You know, he's having a big announcement down there at Smolder and Chode on June the 1st. In fact, I had a note from our buddy Jim the other day. Apparently, Jim has gotten his invitation.
Yeah, Jim is from where I live. Yeah, according to what they've been saying.
In fact, it reads an invitation to a frolic at Peckerwood. You and the missus are invited to a hog fry and a chicken bog extravaganza on the glorious 1st of June 2015 at noon. Also provided are Peckerwood specialty, chitterlings or shitterlings. Please note that any tree under which the above are cooked may lose their foliage. A raffle will be held, and the winner will have the honor to bring the host a slice of cornbread baked with a hole in the center while being entertained by the Chippendale dancers. Fainting couches, cambric handkerchiefs, smelling salts, and Barbara Cartland novels will be provided as an alternate means of diversion. Dress will be informal in the afternoon. Evening attire will be provided by those Wills of the Wisp of the Bounding Main, our own blockade runners, Dame Edna, and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
You have the Charleston accent down. That's the aristocratic Charleston accent. it's different than the accent where I am. Yeah.
Well, the key to that whole thing is the attitude. You got to get the arms flailing around a little bit, Todd. Cambric handkerchiefs and cornbread with a hole in the center.
Oh God. Oh my God. So let me ask you. This is totally off this topic because it's so damn disgusting. I'm gonna have to wait for the dust to settle and I'll read the papers tomorrow. But
yeah, while I generally don't agree with bleach enemas, there are a lot of times I finish the program and I have to go take a bleach shower. It gets pretty nasty sometimes.
Well, I'm doing this. I'm the facilitator with this group now, and you hear these things. And out, like, you know, down here, man, people live out in these little towns, they're out in the country. There's nowhere for these kids. They don't have anybody to tell anything to. Like you said, they have to get a ride somewhere. If they want to go tell somebody, somebody's got to give them a ride. You're going to be like, yeah, well, you know, give me whatever, you know, little girl, whatever, little boy went to talk to somebody, and then boom, it gets back, and then next thing you know, somebody's shot, somebody's ass gets beat. You know, it's a mess. You know, it's different. Like you can jump on the bus or the subway and just be incognito. You know, this train tragedy, you know, I've ridden that train, literally thousands of times, you know, in my lifetime. That route right there. And matter of fact, I lived with a girlfriend about five blocks from where that happened. And, people don't understand the link. That is a vital link. There's so much commerce that takes place in that corridor right there. How could Congress, they cut the funding by, I think, what was it, 11 or, it was in double digit percentage.
Yeah.
Because
we have a Congress that hates our country. I don't have any problem saying that. The Republican majority in the House of Representatives openly despises the idea of constitutional self-governance.
Well, apparently they do. And, oh, yeah, they do. And you know what? And now that you got me started on that, this damn bitch on the radio the other day, I mean, the GOP, they really have brainwashed these people. And they've been doing this for like 15 years, I guess. Why do they think that the government should be run like a business? They say, we should run like a business, like a business. You know, think about, what's the first priority of a business? To do what?
Make
money.
A profit.
Now, that's all you need to fucking hear to make a profit. That's the
only purpose of a corporation. You know, in the corporate charter, it'll say, and shall be incorporated for the purposes of making widgets and other legal, and such other legal pursuits as may become necessary. Okay? But there's nothing in there about being humane. There's nothing in there about being moral or ethical.
No.
Purpose of a corporation is to make profits.
That's what court law is for. They're supposed to let the courts figure it out. If they do something wrong, it's like, well, that's what the court's for. Hey, yeah, we you know, Bhopal, yeah, we kill all those people, but that's what the court's for. But see, that's totally antithetical to the Constitution. So when these people are so ignorant, in other words, if you had to go to public school starting in, let's say, 77, let's say you started going to public school in 77, you're shit as fuck. You did not have a good education, most likely. You know, that's when they started cutting out PE, civics. They don't understand. The government should be run like a nonprofit because that's antithetical to the Constitution. The Constitution says we the people. It's run by and for the people. It's not run like a business. A business to make a profit. The government should not be run to make a profit. When you start profiteering, when you start privatizing shit, like the correctional, CCI, you know, like this little town I live in, right?
He goes to prison. It's about 20 miles outside of town. They sign a contract. They have to keep those beds full, which means what? Which means
and if they don't, they pay them. And if the beds aren't full, they pay a humongous penalty.
Correct. So they need to get off this dumb shit. I mean, these people have lost their damn minds. But once again, it goes back to people. I'm sorry, but in general, the populace is ignorant. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's probably not, it's not their fault. I mean, it takes... I mean, they're closing the libraries. Unless you have internet access and a lot of motivation and a foundation of how to do research, you know, you should have just fucked. These kids, and trying to dodge the pedophiles, I mean, they don't have a chance in hell.
None. Well, Todd, I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed the heck out of this conversation. I'm going to read something once we ring off here. You might want to get the hockey puck handy.
Oh, great. Thanks, Bob.
The Duggar family have issued statements.
All right, I'm hanging up. I'm going to listen. I'll talk to you later.
Run and hide, Todd. Run and hide, brother.
Oh.
Bye now. Don't be such a stranger, man. Good to hear from you. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. By the way, a pool, we have opened a pool here. Not a swimming pool, but we've opened a pool here. We have a pool for the first time on June the 1st during his formal announcement. And by the way, y'all come on, y'all come on now. You hear? Yeah. To see how long it's going to take before Lindsay, during said formal announcement, utters the word, I do declare. Mm-hmm. Or whether if he takes questions, anyone asks him about how he was going to have a drone strike on anybody who wants to join up with ISIL, and asking him maybe, you know, well, what about the people in the house next door? They're going to get blown up too. And, no. And he can say, I'll worry about it tomorrow. I declare. No, there's a statement out from the Duggar family. Jim, Bob, and Michelle have offered up the following, based on the fact that their son's filthy, dirty, arguably felonious little secret has come out. Back 12 years ago, our family went through one of the most difficult times of our lives. When Josh was a young teenager, he made some very bad mistakes, and we were shocked. We had tried to teach him right from wrong. That dark and difficult time caused us to seek God like never before. Even though we would never choose to go through something so terrible, each one of our family members drew closer to God. Nothing in there about whether or not they drew the little girls further away from Josh. We pray that as people watch our lives, they see that we are not a perfect family. We have challenges and struggles every day. It is one of the reasons we treasure our faith so much, because God's kindness and goodness and forgiveness are extended to us, even though we are so undeserving. We hope somehow the story of our journey, the good times and the difficult times, cause you to see the kindness of God and learn that He can bring you through anything. And you make sure and watch our program all the time on TLC, because we are rich, 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 rich. Then there's Josh Duggar's own statement. 12 years ago, as a young teenager, I acted inexcusably, for which I am extremely sorry and deeply regret. I hurt others, including my family and close friends. I confess this to my parents, who took several steps to help me address the situation. We spoke with the authorities, where I confessed my wrongdoing, and my parents arranged for me and those affected by my actions to receive counseling. I understood that if I continued down this wrong road, that I wouldn't end up ruining my life. No word yet on the lives of people, other people he would ruin. I sought forgiveness from those I had wronged and asked Christ to forgive me and come into my life. I would do anything to go back to those teen years and take different actions in my life today. I'm so very thankful for God's grace, mercy, and redemption. What do you reckon the response would have been of the Duggars had one of their children been sexually molested by, somebody from outside the family? Think they would have gone and got them counseling? Think that they would have gone and took it to the Lord in prayer? Hell no. Jim Bob would be out there, get a rope! They done violated my precious pumpkin. But then it gets really sickening because you get to the comments. Boy, if you only knew what my past looks like, we are all saved only by His grace. Love you all and your family. People are making up details that haven't been even made public, and it sickens me that barely anyone has acknowledged that he stepped up and sought the help he needed. People can change and deserve second chances. I fully support your family and Josh. So I imagine there will be an episode of the Growing Up Duggar or what the hell ever where they talk about our overcrowded, over-imprisoned population and how we need more Christian forgiveness in the criminal justice system so that people like Josh can be turned out onto the streets, just as the Duggars turned Josh out onto the streets. Another person said, I don't understand why the devil attacks those who are on God's road, but he attacking your family hard right now, praying for you guys. Jesus is all about love and forgiveness, so how can we, as the body of Christ, condemn a fellow brother? The past is the past, and it sounds like every step has been taken to make this better with all who were involved. Praying for y'all and standing with your family in love as well. You got to go through all that before somebody says, wow, he's being praised by people for molesting kids. I'm sure you'd think otherwise if it were your kid that were molested. And then another individual knows what it's really about. Unfortunately, many people won't care to listen to what you, the people actually involved, have to say. They will ignore the truth and make calls for your show to be canceled, for Josh to be persecuted, and for your family to be punished. I know you don't need me to tell you this as devout Christians, but now is the time to completely put your lives in God's trustworthy hands and to take whatever time you need to let the dust settle. Many want and will still want your great family to fall. But we know this long-settled issue for you being re-brought up will not cause you to waver or stumble. I'm looking forward to the next season of 19 Kids. We have a wonderful Savior. Love your family. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Hoo-wee! Thank you, Isaac, I think, for sending that along. That bleach shower is getting closer and closer. 19 minutes past the hour. Let's run over to the Skype line. I think we got Jim. Is that you, Jim?
Hello.
Hello.
I just love your accent. It's just so divine.
Oh, yours is deboner as well.
True. Let me ask you something about the Duggar family. I haven't heard about these people, and I don't search for all this stuff, and I don't get the emails you do, but can you tell me a little more about them and their basic source of income and how they are? I guess, if I heard correctly, they're pretty well-heeled.
I am not particularly, I'm no more familiar with that program than I am the one, the program about the people who make noisemakers that make ducks think that people want to have sex with them. But
oh, you are incorrigible.
Well, it's the truth. That's what a duck call is. Okay. It's a noisemaker that makes a duck think a human wants to have sex with them. But
okay, I'm not going to argue with you. Okay, that's great. Go ahead. I didn't.
So
I never follow it that way.
So Jim Bob Duggar is apparently into real estate. That's his day job.
Right.
But what he's really into is the evangelical fundamentalist religion industry.
Does he have some type of established program?
Oh, there's a church. But wait, because you've got to get the full horrible scope of all of this, Jim, before you head for the fainting couch, okay?
I'm on it right now with my cambric handkerchief, my smelling salt, so don't worry about me.
Okay, it's a long trip to the floor. I just wanted to make sure that you were set.
I've got two cats standing guard.
Oh, well, good. Shady and Rufus take good care of you. So they are part, and Jim, I know from conversations that we have had in the past that some of this is stuff that if you were told it was that they were the beliefs of the 19-fingered jelly people of Norblap 12, it would make every bit as much sense to you. That's not me critiquing you. That's me talking. That's just how sane you are.
Thank you. I understand.
There is a movement out there inside. It's a subcult inside the cult, the heresy, if you will, of evangelical fundamentalist Christianity called the Quiverful Movement.
The what, Bob? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
The Quiverful. Quiverful is a quiver of arrows.
Right. Because a woman's womb is a quiver. And all of her children are arrows which will be launched in the name of Jesus into a vile and filthy and vulgar secular world. And the goal is to outbreed the heathens. So a quiverful family, a wife in a quiverful family has to treat her uterus like a clown car. She has to remain for so long as she is, or up until menopause hits, she has to remain pregnant. She no sooner gets done squatting one out than here comes Jim Bob a-rutting on his Mayella to get baby number, and they're up to 19 now.
Wait a minute. One family has 19 children?
Yes, sir.
Well, they are a fertile group.
And they have parlayed this into a reality television show. 19 kids and counting.
May I know the name of this show, please?
19 kids and counting.
And the channel, it's not on the Learning Channel, is it?
TLC, correct.
You mean this is going to replace Honey Boo Boo Chow?
Gonna. It's been on for years.
I've just never seen it. That's the reason I asked.
These people are dangerous. They have parlayed their fame into a tie-in, a hookup, if you will, with the American Family Association, where this young scion of the family got himself a job as a lobbyist, lobbying for family values and talking about how the gays are threats to our children's safety.
That's quite remarkable. That is remarkable indeed.
And how trans people, if they get to go potty in public restrooms, will abuse our precious little girl children in the potty.
you know, from my experience and knowledge of transgender people, they are, number one, they are not aggressive people, and they are not disposed to act in such a fashion.
No.
But for instance,
I really think all they want to do is to be left alone.
To be who they are.
And yeah, exactly, and to be who they are. And they go through an awful lot of ridicule, persecution, not to mention the medical procedures, in order to achieve that goal.
See, you know the University of Arkansas is in Fayetteville, Arkansas, right, Jim?
Right.
So, and college towns tend to be at least a little more liberal in most instances than their non-college town counterparts. For instance, Columbia, South Carolina is probably a little, you know, even if we're measuring it with tiny, tiny meters, a little bit more liberal than, say, oh, I don't know, Florence, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I lived there for over 20 years.
So, you know, there's culture there. And the same
lots
and the,
of it.
And the same can be said of Fayetteville, Arkansas. So, the city leadership passed a non-discrimination ordinance that said you could not discriminate against a person in housing or hiring or public accommodations based upon their gender or their gender status, including being transgendered. And immediately the Duggars and the American Family Association and all of these bigoted organizations began worrying publicly and wringing their hands and clutching their pearls, Jim, about whatever shall we do when the drag queens are allowed to go potty in Fayetteville in a public restroom. I mean, this is the hill that they want to die on now. They're going to preserve America's virtue in the potty. Now, I don't know about you, and we certainly don't need any details either from you, me, or anybody else. I've always seen restrooms as a place to go into, remain in as in for as public restrooms as a place to enter, remain in for as little time as absolutely necessary, and exit.
I think I know where that comes from, Bob.
What do you mean?
Well, as far as restrooms and things of that nature, in gay parlance, certain restrooms have gained the reputation of being tea rooms. That's what they're called, and in those places, people have sex, and they are pickup places, but it's mainly for wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, there was one bathroom at the University of South Carolina that was even listed in a gay guide to cruising.
Well, I mean, how do you think Larry Craig found out about the men's room in the basement of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport?
I probably did, but I mean, you know, I've never seen one listed in an airport, but that is not a place to do that sort of thing. But I mean, I was just explaining, you know, where
yeah.
that may come
from.
No,
I get that, but the right wing's obsession with bathrooms is bizarre and unhealthy.
Well, it has to do with potty training. It has to do with that sort of thing.
Yeah, at gunpoint.
Security. And also, as far as, and I'll try to explain a little further if I may. There's a certain element of associative stimuli, or that is associated with taking a chance of doing something like that.
The thrill
to do and getting out of there. I mean, that's where I think that comes from.
Are you talking about the thrill factor?
Yeah. I mean, there's just this element of sex is dirty, and therefore there's a certain degree of associative stimuli that is equated with the dirtiness of sex and those sorts of assignations. Now, that's my knowledge of it, you know? And I'm just offering that to you.
No, I understand. I understand your point.
And that's all. That's all. But you know,
but those assignations, Jim, are between consenting adults, are they not?
They are indeed.
And,
they are indeed.
And so there is not an argument to be made that there is an army of drag queens out there trolling public restrooms with outrageously fashionable clothing, which they want. But see, what they're upset about, and this is where it makes even it makes even less sense. Understand, Jim, what they're worried about is trans people, mostly trans women, going to the women's restroom.
Well, Bob, I mean, you know, basically these people just go in there and do their business and leave. Whereas the thing that we were talking about earlier, and I've seen these places, okay?
Okay.
These tea rooms. And I've never seen a drag queen in one.
Well, that's because it's the men's room, Jim.
Exactly.
I'm not yelling at you. You understand? I mean, that's what makes these fundies so ridiculous. It, like I said, it's as if an army of drag queens is going to descend on public ladies' rooms and insist that the hay shakers and the hicks dress more fashionably. Darling, here, I brought you a feather boa. You know, put it on.
You know, the only offensive action I've ever heard of and known occurred in Fire Island. And I can't remember, it was back during my salad days, you know, in bars in Fire Island, which was a notorious, you know, place where a lot of gay people vacation, have homes and stuff like that. And drag queens were not welcome there because they weren't butch enough.
Right, and I remember Peter Godbold engaging in a conversation with a trans advocate on his program many years ago, in which the trans person, she explained that there is and there's a little more unity now, but there was a huge disconnect between the gay community and the trans community.
Oh yeah, well, what happened?
And then within the trans community itself, that there were you know, profound prejudices between pre-op and post-op, that there were prejudices by the post-ops against the pre's, by the pre's against the passables, by the passables against the impassables. You know, it was all sneetches, if you recall the Dr. Seuss.
Well, it is a form of caste system, for lack of a better term. But I can remember in July, I can't remember the exact year, when the drag queens decided they were tired of it, and what they did, they had a nonviolent thing. They all got on a big ferry, and they ferried across to Fire Island, and then they all had a cocktail. Everybody laughed at them, and after that, there wasn't any more problem, really. I mean, they effected some sort of detente. And, you know, and if you see any shows, for example, there's a good documentary about Fire Island where the sky meets the sea. I think that's what it's called. And it tells you about Fire Island and how it came to be and stuff like that. And it's very informative, humorous, and well worth watching. But going back to transgender people and stuff like that, yeah, there is a caste system within the gay community referencing transgender people and that sort of thing. Now, you have another element of that, and we call it camp drag. Now, I remember one guy, as a matter of fact, when the first year I taught school, I taught this boy. I did not have any influence on him in that way. But nonetheless, he, after I taught him, and I think I was working at Fort then, yeah. He came by to see me, and he said, Jim, and he was kind of a heavyset fellow. He said, I think there's a woman in my body trying to get out. And I said, I think there must be a couple of them in there, Doug, but that's all right. But then he would get up and do this thing called Tammy Gay Faker.
Oh, dear God.
I mean, this guy had tubes that would run out of his arms so they could shoot fire and all kinds of stuff. And it was an absolute hoot. And we're talking about camp drag, okay? I mean, it's... And another,
way over the top.
And another friend of mine named Lorraine, who was a long-distance truck driver, who was also a drag queen. And Lorraine would always say, my name is Lorraine. I cause you great pain. And Lorraine was the trip. I love Lorraine. She was a hoot. And also was the first white gay man to live with a black man in Columbia, South Carolina. Now, you talk about somebody that...
It's probably still a scandal.
I think it's more accepted and stuff like that. But, you know, you have...
But they're not on the... But they probably aren't on the invitation list for June 1st.
No, I wouldn't think so. Of course, they might be. I mean, you never can tell when there might be a little side entertainment down at Peckerwood, but nonetheless, but, you know, it's just amazing. But the gay community have, well, let me put it this way. I learned persecution, and I learned about discrimination, and I learned about what could happen to you if certain people were to find out and what the consequences would be. And they would not be pleasant, nor were they pleasant.
No, you had real reasons to be afraid, given your career.
And we've talked about this on this program over the years. We have. And I just can't understand why other people in that old Hank Williams song, I guess it was Hank Williams Jr. or whatever his name's called, mind your own business. And if more people would adhere to that rule and take care of what's going on in their house as opposed to trying to go on knocking on somebody else's door or breaking it down and...
Well, I mean, consider the Duggars. Yeah, consider the Duggars.
Their type of, you know, beliefs and cleansing rituals, we'd all be a lot happier.
Consider the Duggars, Jim. There they are on TV every week with their little reality show, making them a fortune, talking about how godly and upright they are, and the whole time the camera is showing these girls who are victims of child sexual predation perpetrated by their brother.
Bob, that's not the kind of church in which I was reared, and that's not the type of Christianity that I've known.
I understand that.
And, you know, let me go one further. And as far as forgiveness is concerned with Christianity, you don't get a get-out-of-jail-free card if you keep on doing it.
See, this is where
I mean this.
This is where I can be of assistance to you, Jim.
Well, this is basically how I was reared and taught in church school, and that's what I'm trying to explain to you now. Okay.
Yeah, you were raised in a far more sane sect of Christianity.
And yet they used to call us Whiskeypagans.
Right. Whiskey Episcopals.
Right. and in Greenville County, populated by the Southern Baptists, as opposed to Charleston, which is the holy city, but the capital of sin of South Carolina, the per capita consumption of alcohol in Greenville County led the rest of all 48 counties in the state of South Carolina.
Well, sure. Consider that Utah, the home of Mormonism, has the highest per capita consumption of online porn. The highest divorce rates are in the fundamentalist states. No, but let me just kind of and I'm
proceed,
not,
please proceed.
That was your understanding, you know, that forgiveness of sin is predicated upon upon remorse and regret,
and go and sin no more,
and then that there are forms of expiation. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea magna culpa.
Mea maxima culpa.
Maxima culpa. Culpa. Yeah, right, yeah. Not magnum, not magma.
Maxima.
Yeah. Okay, and that is a carryover from Roman Catholicism. However, when you get into Protestant evangelical churches like the Baptists, there is a doctrine there called once saved, always saved. These forms of Protestantism are much more reliant upon emotionalism than upon intellect or upon ritual. And for that reason, it does not. There's a phony baloney intellectualism that goes with it, but more than anything else, it's emotion. And once saved, always saved says that grace will never, can never be withdrawn. Okay? And that once you've been baptized once, you're good for life. And that once you've been saved, you're going to stay that way. There's no purgatory. There's no expiation. And if you do screw up, well, it's like what I was reading there, the responses to the Duggars Facebook post. If you do screw up, all you have to do is say, forgive me, and it's all good. Okay? That may sound crazier in the head than the hog is in the ass to you, Jim, but it is the reality for a majority of the Christians, so-called, in this country. And it all flows down from Calvinism and concepts of the elect and concepts of grace as being delineated by wealth. And the prosperity gospel comes from it. And it is a blight and a cancer upon our country, Jim. And I don't think people understand. They say, well, you know, everybody's got freedom of religion under the First Amendment. Isn't it wonderful? And, yeah, okay, believe what you want to believe, but they have become a pestilence upon our body politic. And every once in a while, we are reminded that they are nothing short of a seething, boiling mass of perversion and sickness. And see, just as a for instance, the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church get hold of the children at a tender age, and you learn to sing, Jesus loves the little children, and Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And they give you all the love and sunshiny Jesus down in the basement. And then, you know, once you're good and hooked, then when you go upstairs, that's where the thunder and that's where the fire and brimstone's being preached, and that's where all the sinners in the hands of an angry God is going on, and it warps people. and it has an incredible authority structure. And authority structures are breeding grounds for the kind of conduct we see coming from the Duggars. And I find it really, really funny. And understand, a whole bunch of the teabaggers and the majority in the House right now are this kind of so-called Christian. You know, it's not Kennedy Catholicism anymore. It is this virulent, pestilent, right-wing, politicized, fascist Christianity that is running and ruining our country. And they are an absolute danger. I mean, for instance, the Pope has been talking a lot about climate and about how we treat the poor. I'm sure you see all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I respect that. Well, now he's getting real serious about talking about climate change and its effect on the poor. And lo and behold, guess what? I forget which one it was, but some right-wing teabagged member of the House majority hollered that the Pope needs to take his religion out of politics, when that's all they ever damned well do. Did I lose Jim? Oh, I may have screwed up. I'm sorry. Haley, do I have you there?
Yes, you do. And I was taking a nap and didn't hear the filibuster, but I did read before the nap the part of the 33-page report that just came out today. That's when I realized that this was not just some isolated incident.
No, this is not a voting accident.
No. This is dangerous shit. And this is the same family that libeled, in my opinion, the transgender community of Northwest Arkansas and probably helped to push the undecided voters in Fayetteville, the ones who did vote, the ones that were on the fence, to vote against Chapter 119.
Which was the non-discrimination ordinance.
The infamous non-discrimination ordinance. The infamous repeal of a non-discrimination ordinance. And then, of course, ironically, a similar ordinance in Eureka Springs did pass. However, the opposition, of course, was from a rapist turned preacher. But then again, we give them a pass because they're forgiven. They're good Baptists, and they're against the homosexual agenda, so whatever. And I don't know what to say at this point. I don't know what to say that a group of people that painted themselves the ultimate Pharisees, and I'm reminded of a scripture about dead man's bones,
that they are lovely things. They are whited sepulchres.
Sepulchres, and they're nothing but full of dead man's bones.
Yeah.
I'm also recovering Baptist, so I know all the dogma, and I know the mindset of these people, and they have a.
Do you agree with me? You know, not that I necessarily need the affirmation, but do you agree with me that these people are becoming a pestilence in our country?
Oh, they've been a pestilence in this country for long before this scandal broke. To me, they were on my shit list back in. I never have liked them. I always thought that. And I don't know if you realize, if you know this, and I know it's the time's short, Bob, but Jim Bob Duggar back in the early 2000s ran for the U.S. Senate on the Republican primary.
Yes, he did.
And he lost to a guy named Tim Hutchinson, who is the brother of our current governor. who was a sitting U.S. senator at the time, and he lost the office partly because he divorced, because Tim divorced his wife, and that was the only one-term senator in recent Arkansas history. But at this point, I'm I have no words. It's hard to say. I mean, it's, and I'm just disgusted by the way this family, this Duggar family, has taken a community, and actually everybody, not just Northwest Arkansas.
They have a viewership.
But allies, everybody.
They have a viewership of a million or more, don't they?
I'm sure they do. I mean, there's a local TV station I hate to go angry Indian on you, but every fucking time one of these people has a baby or they're pregnant or something, they have to put on their social media, Jesse Duggar had a baby shower. What do you think, viewers, or the picture of one of the Duggar husbands, the Duggar daughter with her husband who had an Israeli Defense Force T-shirt on. You remember that little picture that got floated around? And that son of a bitch never served a day in the U.S. military. The irony of that. And
well, you know, when you get 19 people in your family, there's one other thing, Haley. You're running up there to the point where it's almost statistically guaranteed that somebody in that family going to be gay.
Or lesbian, or trans.
Yeah.
But I never thought that, and I come up with this hashtag after the Fayetteville debacle. I came up with a hashtag, and I hope it goes viral. And it says, "These are the real predators, Michelle Duggar." And it is about every time a fundy, evangelical, conservative got caught in some sex scandal, I tweeted that little hashtag.
Hell yeah. By the way, here's a little tidbit for you, and you'll just love this. If you have to take a minute to grab the hockey puck, that'll be all right.
I've got a whole stack of them over here, Bob.
Good. You're going to be wanting it, because as it turns out, at the same time that Josh Duggar was molesting his own sisters and other people's children as well, Michelle Duggar was named Mother of the Year.
Okay, next question, Bob. Which organization anointed Matriarch Michelle Mother of the Year?
That I do not know.
The Goddess of Irony.
And you know, we had the story, what, last week, of the two probably drunk people who were caught having heterosex on the beach in Florida. And the guy is going up for 15 years hard time in the Florida penitentiary.
And he'll be forever labeled a sex offender whenever he tries to get a job.
He and his girlfriend both have to register as sex offenders. And yet you've got a real sex offender, which apparently they now admit, you know, that he did it. And he ain't gonna, and he can just maybe not so quietly now, but quietly move in and out of these authority structures. And any person who would leave a child in this in any of that family's presence is a fool. And is begging for something awful to be done. And I don't, you know, and that is not part of the, no. Don't understand me as you know, they asked for it or how are they dressed or any of that bullshit. No. If you leave a child in the care, custody, and control of anybody from the Duggar family, the odds are just astonishing, probably astonishingly high that something awful will happen. And then they will hide behind Jesus again. You know, you wish half of the stuff they believe was real, just so the lightning bolt would come out of the sky and just, you know, and Jim Bob and Michelle are little greasy spots.
I guarantee their land power start is going to crumble, and it's going to crumble very quickly. But they will have their defenders, and like all these other creeps that's come along over the years, like the Jimmy Swaggarts, like the Ack Returners, they'll just reinvent themselves.
Yeah, but let's remember, Haley, there is an entire right-wing fundamentalist evangelical persecution industry too. And so if people say, you know, get these revolting people off of television, one, the PR department at TLC is going to go, oh my God, do you see the press we're getting out of this? Because remember, this is all for profit, and there's no such thing as bad publicity. And two, the Christian, the right-wing, fundamentalist, evangelical Christian community will band together and say, you're persecuting these people and who are simply standing up for their beliefs in Jesus. And that will be what gets the traffic.
And there's a whole industry out there that whenever I see somebody post something about the liberal media, I'm quick to point out that...
Where?
What liberal media? There's no liberal media out there.
Oh, by the way, Michelle was called Mother of the Year by the Vision Forum, and that's a Texas evangelical outfit. By the way, we have a question. Maybe you know this better than I do, being sharing the same state with these freaks. How many girls are in that family of 19?
Actually, I don't know. I've lost count.
Well, let's see.
When you figure grandchildren, when you start figuring, and they all got to say, all the ones from the first generation family all have names with J's in them. It's kind of hard to keep up. And I don't watch cable TV no more. And I certainly would not watch, I never watched that show, period, when I did have cable, satellite. And I just could care less. I mean, my problem with this family is their hypocrisy and their so-called political activism.
According to answers.com, there are 9 girls in that family.
Jeez.
How many of them did he molest?
We will never know. Jeez. Unless somebody actually confesses to it.
Well,
but one victim is too many.
Right. But the thing is, we know that the victim, it was victims plural inside the family, Haley. Oh, my God. Oh, God. I'm sorry I got to you so late. I got to get out of here, though. It's been awfully good talking to you. You're very good at paying attention to this kind of thing. See what you
peace out, and hopefully the next time will be better circumstances.
Yes, indeed. Haley, have a good night.
Bye, y'all.
Later. And it is time to get out of here. Thank you, one and all, for your kind attention and your participation in the program this evening and every evening, however it is you participate. Thank you very much. And thank you to everyone who keeps the program on the air with your kind contributions. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our, the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch. And, yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.